Hi, I'm Kaylee, a college student and pretend journalist who was conceived with donor sperm in 1999. This is Message in a Bottle. Hello, welcome or welcome back. Excited you're here, either way. This week, I had an interesting conversation with a man who is considering becoming a sperm donor. We talked about what motivates a person to donate sperm, how it might affect his life and the lives of potential future children, and a lot more. He was really fun to talk to, and I think you guys will enjoy hearing his perspective. If you haven't already, though, you can follow Message in a Bottle wherever you're listening. Follow the Instagram, which is at Message in a Bottle Podcast. Send it to your priest, your first grade teacher, and or to your grandma. I'm mostly joking, but as you will hear, these episodes have reached some pretty random corners of the internet, and I think it's great because these are important conversations for people in and outside of the donor conception world to hear. Okay, enjoy.
Hello?
Yeah, there you go.
There we go. I just needed a restart. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. How's your week? Where do you study exactly?
Where?
Yeah.
Did you say? University of Vermont.
Cool.
So I'm in Burlington. Yeah.
Well, cool. I don't know what kind of format you got for this, but
it's usually people that are donor conceived, so I usually just have them like introduce themselves and kind of explain right. like the whole situation, but this is a little different, obviously. Well, I'm curious, how did you find out about the podcast? Because most people, it's because they're in this whole online right. community of people, like, but it's different.
So I don't know if there's any Reddit threads that you check. There's really only one that I go to consistently, and it's called Uplifting News.
Oh.
So it's just, yeah, whatever subreddit / that is, but Uplifting News. And I started checking that thread like a couple years ago because like so many other people, I'll just get like obsessed on my phone, just like double checking things. And I did it as an experiment, and I did find it to actually be useful to mix in like some good news with the inevitable just dumpster fire that is all the things, right?
Right.
There was a post on there with a link to an article that had to do with you and like your podcast and your project and your story.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was like 11 donor siblings all find each other, it was something else, but it was like I was just reading it because it was interesting, and then I was like, oh, that's compelling. And so I actually like gave the podcast a listen, and like I checked out a couple episodes, and I just got to thinking like, well, this is kind of neat. Like I've never considered doing that. Like, it's not like I need the money or anything, but I was like, huh, like what would it be like to do this kind of thing? And so like right there in your podcast, you had your email. So I was like, you know, what the hell? Like, I'll shoot her a note and I'll ask like, you know, what's the like, and I have like a couple questions that I was hoping to ask you on this whole thing, but
yeah, I wrote those down because I thought they were really interesting.
Yeah. It's just along the lines of like, yeah, like, you know, what, like, is there a right way to do it? Is there a wrong way to do it? Like the whole thing is, was really intriguing. And, you know, yeah, I thought it'd be kind of fun to like, first of all, thank you for inviting me. Like this is kind of out there and fun, but I wanted to hear your thoughts on some of those questions, and I've been looking into it, and there's things that we can also talk about here that have me, I have got some second thoughts about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that'll be interesting to get to here at some point, but mostly, yeah, I'd love to hear what you think about some of these things.
Yeah. So you had not thought about becoming a sperm donor before. It wasn't like you had it on your mind and then you saw this. It was like, you saw this and you were like, huh, what if I did that?
That's exactly it.
Oh, that's so interesting. That's funny. I didn't put that together in the email.
Yeah,
so
no, this has not been in the, like, I knew that was a thing, but like, it's not something that crosses most people's radar in the everyday.
Right. Unless it's
right? Yeah. And you are the first face that I've had to put to any of this.
Oh, so, really?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I didn't know
that I've known that was, right? Like, who knows?
Yeah, exactly. There could be people that you know that you don't realize that part of it, which is, that's happened to me since all of this. Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, I didn't know anybody that was donor conceived besides like my little brother and my half sister who I met when I was pretty young. But other than people outside of my own family, it's been very recent through all of this. So that's been really interesting because I always felt very like I stuck out because of it, but it's actually like common and increasingly it's getting more common. Mm-hmm. But so yeah, I guess that kind of answered my question of like the fact that it wasn't that you thought about it and then you found this, it was you found this and then you thought about it. That's interesting.
Yeah, no, 100%. Like if in, and again, like whether or not I do it is like a whole big question, but mm-hmm. if I were to do it, like I suppose like if anybody came asking for a backstory, like you'd be, your podcast at least would, you know,
that's so
part of that origin story. Like how'd I come to be like, I heard this thing.
Yeah, that's funny. So did you listen to the episode with me and my father, biological father?
I listened to the first like 2.5, I think. And then
yeah,
like, life got busy. But yeah, so I heard the one with like you and your assorted, you know, extended biological family.
Yeah.
And then I heard the conversation between you and your donor father as well.
Mm-hmm. So that's, yeah.
And then I got a little bit into the episode where there was an individual, a woman you're talking to, who had like just a very large amount of biological half.
Yeah, yeah, that's probably the first one that was an interview like this with, yeah, right. 50 half siblings that happened because of he went to multiple places type of a thing, which is pretty common.
That's what that was. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a whole thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. So these questions.
So I can ask these to you. So actually I was writing just like some like thoughts down as I had them, but mm-hmm. I can actually look up and see. I'm just pulling up on email. Sorry. As someone who records a podcast, I know how exhausting it is to have things to edit out.
Oh, you do that? You have a podcast?
Yeah.
So, I didn't realize that. That's
funny. So it's for work, but
yeah, it's a little unnerving going back and listening to conversations that you've already heard.
Mm-hmm.
That's and listening to myself. That's what drives me crazy about it. But.
Oh yeah. No, it's like listening to myself is bad enough. And then like video, because I take the video, like
uh-huh.
the video as well as, you know, there's that whole, I don't think I properly realized until I was like 25 that like the mirror image of yourself is not an unmirrored image. It's actually very alarming.
Yeah. And that other people look at you in the way that you don't. Yeah. That's bothersome.
So that's always something that's freaked me out. All right, cool. So I have the questions that I had here. Or that I wrote you. And so I actually think I want to incorporate, if that's all right with you, I'd like to ask you.
Yeah, sure.
Just a couple other questions first. So I guess the first question is like, if someone's going to donate, what's the right way to donate?
Okay. So if you had asked me this 3 months ago, I don't know what I would have said, because I was under the impression that the only way that you could do it was the way that I came to be. But there's a whole online community that advocates for different like lanes that this goes. I think open ID would be the most ideal situation, or open ID at 18, meaning certain banks, like especially the larger ones in America, you can sign. I don't know how that would work. You would sign up, or you like, I'm like audition. That's not the right word.
There's a panel of judges.
Yeah. No, but you, if you got accepted, because I bet a lot of people apply and they have to test all of your stuff and do this whole thing, but you can, I think, choose whether you want to be anonymous or open ID or open ID at 18, meaning anonymous is like you sign a contract that you don't want to be found, you don't want to have anything to do with it, and the parents cannot go looking for you. But it's not so much a thing anymore because so many people are on these at-home DNA, like the databases of like 23andMe and all of that. So even the people that don't want to be found can in some way or another a lot of the time be found. Maybe they don't want to be contacted, and that's a whole other thing, but it's not really possible to be anonymous. But I still wouldn't sign up as an anonymous person because that just causes problems down the road, I think, for the child or children. Open ID at 18 is the child gets your information when they turn 18. And then open ID is when they know the whole time. Right? Yeah, I think that's how it works, but I'm not totally sure on the logistics, because if they know your name and they know all of that, is it like being in like an, I'm honestly not sure if it's like an open adoption where you like keep in touch with the family as the child grows up. Like, I don't know if that's how it works. People talk about the most ideal situation being if you want to use a donor, you should use a known donor, meaning somebody that you are, acquaintances is a weird word, but like friends with, in a way that they would do that for you and be kind of involved in like a sidelines type of a way with the child. So if you did it that way, I don't think you would really have to go through a big sperm bank process. You would do it through like a smaller clinic where you get everything tested and checked out, but it's, and that guarantees obviously that you're not accidentally or whatever having 50 kids, which you would know because it's based on the amount of times you donate. So, but still, so it's like, if you know anybody that's on in the market, that would be the way to do your good deed.
No, it's funny. I'm in my early 30s, and there's a friend of mine that we essentially made like, it started as a joke that I think she's very serious about, but we pinky swore on a baby pact, which basically—
Oh, a baby pact. I've heard of
it. Basically, if she's 38 and I'm 40, which is like, I guess the ceiling for her that's on this, somewhat tipsy, like made this like pinky swear that would be a thing that we do now. To me, this is like, first of all, like that's actually like a really flattering thing for a friend to ever say. I think depending on, you know, whether she hears that ticking noise, she's more or less serious about it.
Mm-hmm.
But
would you like have the baby and the co-parent and like live together, or is it more like you would be the sperm donor for her baby?
We have not gotten so far as
to yeah that's true, you didn't come up
with this was more of a like, oh
yeah I know what you mean.
Like, yeah, you know whatever. I'm not comfortable with any scenario that leaves a kid like wondering why like somebody wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
Also like this is like 8 years from now, like,
right,
if ever. And I don't expect this to happen, but I did tell her that I was doing this podcast and she asked me to give her a shout out, so
hi,
there's that. Hi, I'll be sharing this with her afterwards. That was more of a funny thing to mention. But regarding the some of the other things you said, so, you know, open ID or open ID at 18, like it's is that like a hierarchy that you're giving of like what the best ways, plural, to do it in order, or like a, can you speak to why it's so, you think it's so important for there to be like the transparency there?
I think so, based on what you just said of you don't want to put a child in a situation where they're wondering why someone's not there. Mm-hmm. I think that basically summarizes it pretty well. As a kid, I did not feel like I had a father that abandoned me. Like, I never felt like I had a father, which I've realized now is that was a little bit of my parents sort of like, not manipulating, but they would say things like, you don't have a father, you have a donor, like we're your parents. Mm-hmm. That's not exactly true because we all have a father. You have a genetic father. I don't have a dad per se. Like I would not call my it's still hard for me to like decide what to call him, but my biological father, I would not call him dad or any of that because I don't know him in that kind of a way. And he had nothing to do with the me being raised or anything. But you wouldn't. So I didn't feel like I was abandoned, but some people feel like a child should have the opportunity to be raised with their genetic family. I don't know how that lines up with the adoption situation, because those are people that are not raised by either of their genetic parents. But I still do think that, and I think it's a common opinion, that people have the right to at least know the identity of the person just mm-hmm. for, I mean, practical reasons in terms of like the medical history. You want to, it's just like, I can't explain it. It's like, it's just this faceless, nameless person, and it causes anxiety in terms of like I sometimes would wonder if I'm walking around and it's like a family member that I don't know, or like if it is that him, like that type of a thing. You get bothered by it, I think. So this like not knowing makes it a bigger deal, I think. So that's why I wouldn't, you know, I don't know, the child might feel at a loss, because there are a lot of people that do feel that way. So I don't know. I think the way I would rank them would be like, ideally it's known donor,
mm-hmm.
open ID at 18, and then anonymous. And there are different channels that you can do those different things through. Like apparently there's a whole market for this on Facebook and other corners of the internet. And that is just scary to me, but people being like, I'm, you know, 32, blah, blah, blah. Like, in, you know, and people will reply and buy sperm on the internet.
Oh, wow. So like, yeah, more like a Craigslist kind of
yeah,
thing.
Literally. Oh, so don't do that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I don't. I don't think that would be like.
Yeah, I know.
Do you think there are. So in terms of the emotional piece, so like wanting to know who, and like all of these like very understandable, just like questions that, you know, I can imagine anybody would have.
And that's if the child is aware.
And that's if the child is aware.
That they they have a sperm donor father instead of like me. Maybe they're raised by a single mom. Maybe they're raised by two women. Mm-hmm. And maybe they're raised by a mom and a dad. And that's if they know that there's this other person, like that sense of curiosity, I think is natural. But yeah, what were you saying?
Well, I realize that there's, you know, a wide variety of opinions in this world, just among donor conceived people, right? Mm-hmm. Like that's something that was pretty apparent from your podcast. Is there a contingency, like a group within all this variety, that feels like a donor has a moral obligation to be involved in the rearing and the raising?
I don't think so. I don't. Even the people that are the most, like the people that want to abolish anonymity, like legally, even though that's just not possible because the FDA doesn't regulate any of this, but to abolish anonymity officially instead of just by the fact that DNA tests do that for us. The people on that side of the scale, I don't think even those people, obviously I can't speak for everybody, I don't think even those people are advocating for the donor acting like a third parent or a second parent or somebody that's involved in the way that they are. I don't think so. Because I don't think so. I think it would be up to the individual people and how that would work, of like how involved you were to be or the person were to be. I'm not sure. I know that people have interest in introducing their child to genetic half siblings as young as possible, the people that are like on that side of it and stuff like that, but I actually don't know what those people would say about when the donor would be introduced and how that would work and how often you see them. I don't know. It's interesting. But I don't think that's an expectation that people have.
And so on the backside of that, and I think you've already been answering some of this question, what is the wrong way to donate?
On Facebook, no.
Heading up those Instagram DMs.
Yeah, oh my God. That's a scary DM to get. But the wrong way. Okay, so the wrong way, I would say, would be to like serially donate a lot to one place, to go to multiple places, to, I don't know, what else could you do? And knowing all of this, then still choose to be like, one second. No. Sorry, what was I saying? The wrong way, meaning knowing all of this, is that person still chooses to be anonymous and they want nothing to do with it and they don't want to be contacted and they don't respond if a child reaches out or any of that. Like, you choose to do it. It's different though, because a long time ago, that's what people thought they were signing up for. Like, you do it and then it's just like this nice thing you do and it has no consequences for you. But that's just not the reality of it. So yeah, I think, I don't know, being anonymous, I guess, what I would say.
What are, in your opinion, good or bad motivations on part of a donor? And does it even matter what the motivations necessarily are of somebody who's donating?
I think it depends. I think people I've seen put donation, sperm donor, in quotes, because it's not really a donation. Like, it is a transaction. You do get paid. You get compensated, you know? So that's sort of part of it. It's like the money is a factor. It's less of a factor than, I guess, the egg donation thing, because you get paid less for sperm donation because it's just, obviously, it's just less invasive and you don't have to really do that much. But I think money is a reason why people would do it, that I don't think that's immoral or like wrong for that to be a motivating factor. I think
wrong for what to be a motivating factor?
For money to be a motivating factor. Okay. Like, I don't know. I mean, my parents, I remember, were interested in what my donor was talking about with, like, I want to travel and go different places and I want to, it's about like, he was talking about what he wanted to do with the money. And then it was really funny. My half brother, who's raised by our biological father, was like, he just bought weed with that. I know it. Like, with the money, which was pretty funny, but it's like, that doesn't make me feel bad. It might make some people feel bad to find out that the reason that they exist is because a guy needed money, I guess, but I don't think that it's the end of the world. I don't But I inherently there is sort of like a Good Samaritan type of thing that comes from it, because you're not just doing it for, I guess, no reason. You're doing it for money, but you're not, you are attempting to help somebody, whether you are aware of that or not, you know? So, yeah, I mean, that's part of it, I'm assuming. Like, if you're curious about it in this kind of a way, in sort of like a philosophical way, I feel like you probably care about about that aspect of it.
Do you mind if I bounce my motivations off you?
Yeah. No, so I mean, yes, I don't mind.
Yeah.
I always do that.
This is going to get real personal real quick. So first of all, like, I would be somebody who'd be very, very much open to having kids contact me in the future.
Mm-hmm.
If anything, I think I'd probably be like a little bummed if like every single, you know, hopefully it's not that many, right? Like, I know there's like no way. Like, one of the things that makes me go, is like the fact that like you can't exactly walk into like a clinic and be like, you know what, four, just
right, four. Because they want money.
Right.
Even exactly. More than the donors, like,
it's
do.
It's a business.
It's a company, yes.
It's a business, and you're, you know, the proverbial, you know, cow mm-hmm. in this scenario.
Yeah.
So like that is something I'd be open to. Like, at least I looked up, you know, I think there's only one bank like in this area, and I'll get into that in a minute. But the money, like, first of all, even before I looked up how much it was, like, I think just on principle, like, I wouldn't be doing this for money personally. Mm-hmm. Not that there's anything wrong with anybody that does, in mm-hmm. my view. I would, I don't know, donate it to like Planned Parenthood or like something, right? Like, I think it'd be kind of cool that if somebody contacted me in the future, be like, oh, like, you know, that cash went towards like this. And not that weed is, you know, a not
perfectly
worthy cause. Don't get me wrong there.
Power, I think he was kidding. I don't know. It's okay either way.
I'd probably go spend like, because like they pay you like different checks. I'd probably go spend like, blow like the last check on like something fun, right? Mm-hmm. But
for your hard work. No.
For my hard-earned labor. The rest of it though, I'd feel good about like putting towards something good. So like there is like the, you know, like the it's helping somebody out aspect of it. That's good. But the, like I said, like I think like listening to the podcast, the connection that all of you guys had seemed really solid. And like, one of my favorite things about growing up was like having a sibling, and like, you guys have like, you know, this whole interesting sort of extended thing. I don't feel like the idea of a big family is really appealing to me,
mm-hmm.
but it doesn't feel like it's morally a good thing to do with the state of the climate and everything else right now.
Yep.
So like, I'd feel comfortable like raising like two kids, right? And then past that, like one, like I'm already in my 30s, like realistically, like, you know, I'm not settled down. So just even beyond like idealistically what the number is, like there's like, sure, guys can reproduce until like forever, right? Like that is a thing. But the other side of that is that, like, you know, I have met one or two dudes in their like mid-40s who are like definitely like going around like looking for someone with like an oven that's still functioning.
Right.
Right. So that's not a position that like I intend on being in. Mm-hmm. So I know that like this is not like this is something entirely different than like what I saw like my grandparents having, where like they would walk outside during a party and there'd be this like whole brood, right?
Right.
That they, you know,
that's the name of our group chat.
Brood. That's hilarious. Yeah. So I do like want to like be very, very, very clear. Like, there's people who have zero interest in contacting their like bio, like, you know, donor, father, whatever you want to call them.
Yeah.
There's people who do. There's people like, there's varying interests. I remember like your bio father said that he felt very uncle like,
mm-hmm.
You know, and tried to like meet people where they were at and sort of let them set the pace of it. That sounded, yeah, you know, like a very reasonable approach. But the, like, overall, it seemed like a good thing to do. Overall, it seemed like, you know, like anybody that does reach out, at least at the point in which like people would be like interested in, this would probably just be like I would see that as long as everything was done in like the healthy way that I seem to have in my mind, it seems like that would be like an addition, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like a welcome addition to like a family. So there's some of it. Like I was talking with a friend about this, a girl I'm seeing, and she was, you know, laughing, you know, at the idea, and she goes, "That sounds like some real male Genghis Khan shit."
Mm-hmm, that...
right?
Yeah.
And like we had like a good laugh about it, and I'd love to get your opinion on this, but like the sentiment behind it like did like rub me the wrong way a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Like I can't think of a single scenario in which like any woman's desire to procreate would be called into question or would need to be defended, right? But there's a bit of an inherent, it's like
polygamist vibe, like something like,
right? Like there's an innate suspicion
that you're kind of like, there isn't ass. Like, yeah,
I'm not saying that there isn't, you know, I'm not saying that there isn't reason for some eyebrows to be raised of just, mm-hmm, like out of curiosity, if nothing else, right? But the point that I keep coming back to is like, okay, so the thing that I wouldn't feel good about would be if like, one, if there's like 100 little me's running around, like the world isn't that many. And two, like I mentioned before, like I would not be okay with any scenario in which like a child is left wondering, right? Like with this, like, mm-hmm, you know, piece missing and then like, what the fuck, where were you? Like, I would never care to be in that kind of scenario. And the third piece of it is, like in terms of like, I don't feel like I'd be adding net more people to the world, right? Like if somebody goes to buy sperm, like they're going to find some sperm.
Yeah.
Right. So I don't feel like this would be, I feel like this would be like sidestepping that other worry, in terms of just like how many offspring like is immoral to even have.
Uh-huh.
So I know I'm mentioning a lot of things there, but like, what do you make of all this?
I get what you mean with the, like, I think I've made the Genghis Khan joke too, I think, with maybe him, I think.
Mm-hmm. It's funny.
It is funny. Like, this idea that, it's like, is there this sort of philosophical-ish ethical question of what kind of a person would want to do that besides the money or trying to help people? It's like, do you think that your genes are somehow worthy of being spread? I don't think that it's like that. I don't think that it's that deep unless you're somebody that's like particularly obnoxious and that's why you do it, which I don't think that's the case. Like there are people who definitely like these serial sperm donors that have like, you know, like hundreds of kids. Like that's not even exaggeration. Sure. It's like there are real cases. It's like there's definitely like you get off to that, like there's something wrong with you, you know, like as to why, mm-hmm, you feel the need to like sow your seed into the history of the, right? But if you're talking about, mm-hmm, like five kids, I don't really think that's, and again, you can't control it, I think there are plenty of people that are married that have five kids and nobody's like, why are you, you know, it's because it's like different women. I don't know. I don't think it's like, I wouldn't hold much weight to the, because it depends on the person, like the donor, the man. Like if you have that kind of personality, then it comes across that way. But I think it depends. But I do think sometimes women, what did you say? Men's reason for wanting to have kids is called into question, but women's. I think the only case I can think of that people are like, well, why do you want to have your own kids so bad, is people that choose to do like extensive fertility treatments and IVF and all of that instead of just adopting a kid. Like, why don't you just adopt a kid? Like, why is it that you have to do all of this to have a baby? Like, there's so many kids, you know, that's a thing that people say, which I think is invalidating, mm-hmm, but whatever.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah. But yeah. What were we talking about?
It's like, motivations and sort of the scenario that plays in my head that makes this that makes this whole thing like appealing is really the idea of like, well, first of all, like all these people potentially like have each other.
Mm-hmm.
And second of all, if they were to reach out at one point, like that would be a welcome thing.
Yeah.
Right. Well, getting into the questions that I sent you, you know, via email when like I first reached out.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let me actually backtrack just a little bit. There is another piece of this for me as I've like thought about like, well, what are my motivations here that I think is probably relevant. And this is a little difficult to talk about, but when I was in my early 20s, I went through a very statistically unlikely and I went through 2 abortions in 5 months with my then partner. And one of the questions that came up, there's a lot of questions that came up during that time period, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this was like, there's a whole lot of other stuff like surrounding the scenario. And that's not the story I want to mention here. Like I don't want to delve into the details here, but the things that I think are relevant here that are interesting is, one, like there's nothing that would have kept me away from raising a kid if either of those had come to term.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I guess there's 3 things here. So there's that, there's a conversation that was had at the time was like, well, you know, what if this is the chance, right?
Mm-hmm.
What if this is like we both had like a lot of like, you know, like obviously like we're dating, we're very close. We had a lot of, you know, we thought very highly of each other. And it was this idea of like not only like, is this, if we decide no, like, is this combination of genes, people like never going to happen? Like we're saying no to that.
Mm-hmm.
Like what if something happens to the other person? Right. Like
the other person, like between the two of you.
Yeah. Like what if somebody like passed away? And like, yeah, this turned out to be their chance to pass a piece of themselves on.
Mm-hmm.
And our whole, and this is like the third thing that came from it, like our whole experience was really just a big, big lesson. And like something that is extremely statistically unlikely can happen to you.
Yes.
Right. And did to us. Right. So that
what's statistically unlikely? Just the fact that they happened in close succession or just like.
So the first pregnancy was the result of, a lot of people don't know that certain antibiotics can nullify birth control.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, I didn't have that on the top of my head either, but yeah, true.
So that's like a lot of people get caught off guard with that. That's not what was statistically unlikely. Like, I don't want to get too much into the second one. But it was like, we were told by like 3 doctors that like never should have happened.
Uh-huh.
That, and it was a statistic of a statistic, like especially, yeah, in that short time period, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like we got to know what it feels like to be on that, like, you know, if somebody says like something is above like, you know, like a 98-99% probability that like everything is like okay.
Yeah. And you're not. It sucks.
So like there is this like, I don't think I can skip the idea that like, you know, somewhere that's probably affecting the way that I see this of like,
mm-hmm,
oh, hey, right? Like, you know, this is not only a cool thing to do, but, you know, in the event that like something unlikely did happen, like that base would be covered.
Yeah, that's so interesting.
Right?
Yeah, I've never thought about it like that. Yeah. Meaning if you, God forbid, something, so you do this now, mm-hmm, and then in 5 years, something happens to you, there are surviving.
Sure. And like children, a piece of me and my family and all that. And like, I know that like everybody in like my family would be like absolutely like thrilled in that instance if like someone were to reach out. If,
yeah,
somebody were interested, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, and I don't know where that falls psychologically in terms of like this idea of like being survived by somebody, and like,
right,
it's pretty morbid. But as long as we're...
I think it's normal. I think it's yeah. it's in our like evolutionarily, like that makes right. sense.
So yeah, that's as long as I'm like, you know, doing some self-examination of being like, well, why do I want to do this? And they're like, do I think those are the right reasons? Like, that's not something that I can like pass up as like, well, that's probably affecting the way I'm seeing this.
Mm-hmm. And I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. Yeah, I don't think that that's a negative motivating factor. Like, it kind of makes sense. And I don't think most people mm-hmm. would think of it unless they've been through kind of what you were talking about, where it forces you to think about stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
It makes sense. Yeah.
All the good times.
Oh God.
I have no idea where to go from there.
I know. Anyway.
But anyhow, so I think I actually do have a, I don't know how to bring the humor after something like that, but I do have, there are those couple of like questions that I wrote down
mm-hmm.
in terms of like what I was worried about. The three worries that I had were just a lot of them logistical. Like, so if because this would be out of my control, if like a large number of people contacted me interested in like having me in their life somehow, and like I'm older and have like, you know, a wife, kids, career, mm-hmm. like all that stuff, like I would worry about just the logistics time-wise of that kind of thing, and like mm-hmm. how much I could realistically give or not give there. Have you seen a scenario like that where somebody's, I mean, especially because some of these guys just have like a ridiculous amount, like even right. like even your bio dad, who did like, he did not go from like clinic to clinic, like that's a large amount of people.
Yeah, it is. And we don't know if that's the final count, and we never right. will, because they don't track or monitor. So that's the another part of it, is you have to accept that you will never actually know for sure what comes from what you do, which is interesting. But it is correlated to what you do and what you don't do. So it's not like, it is not possible to do this for a year where you go once a week or two times a month or something, and then in 18 years you have, you know, 75 people knocking at your, like, that's not, I don't mm-hmm. think that's
Simpsons realistic. Mob outside of your mm-hmm. house.
Like, there are cases where people go overboard, and then that's how, or they donate a lot over long periods of time. Like, I've talked to people who their bio dad was a sperm donor for 15 years or for 7 years. Like, that kind of a length of time is going to produce the number of children, like,
a lot,
you know,
of people
towards the upper, you know, towards triple digits, which is like mm-hmm. not what you're trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
So it also kind of depends on what relationship you would want to have with the kids and what they would want to have with you, because like, it's not as though you will think of the kids the same way that you would think of your raised children if you ended up having children the quote normal way. It's sort of, I mean, I don't know, but I do feel like there's sort of like an uncle-y, like, right. I don't think you have to go to, you know, every soccer game for 10 different kids. Like, I don't think that that's mm-hmm. I don't picture it that way. So I don't know how much time logistically. I think it's more of an emotional consideration of mm-hmm. what your kids, your raised kids, you know, hypothetical raised kids would think about all of it, or what your hypothetical wife would think about all of it.
That's also on this list, yeah, of like, oh. you know, like oh hey babe, sorry, I forgot to mention, like, at some right. point, like 12 people are going to come knocking on this door right. that have no history with you
mm-hmm.
but you know, whew,
or well, really with you, which is interesting, you know,
or with me, or with me, yeah, up yeah. to this point, but they're going to have questions that I need to answer.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of a funny scenario to think about. And then the other thing is like totally beyond the control of anybody that's, you know, buying, and it's, you know, what, like, there's no controlling the one would hope that somebody who is, you know, going to a bank like that, like has, you know, like resources and to, you don't know what kind of family, right? Your mm-hmm. material is going to.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's just kind of the name of the game. Like there is no real answer to that. That's just kind of how it is.
Yeah. But I hadn't thought about that until I read that in the email of you have no control over the family that raises them. You can just hope that they have good parents. And that is a scary kind of thing to think about, because you don't want to be responsible for like contributing to bring a child into the world and then they're in like a shitty situation, obviously. Yeah. But yeah, it depends. I don't think anybody, and I mean, obviously it's not like, oh, wow, this is so profound, but like nobody's parents are perfect.
Sure.
So it's not like, you know, there's a risk of doing that to your kid. If you know the person you're having a kid with and you get divorced and they're questionable and their parents, you know, it's like, that's a possibility where you don't really understand or do agree with every decision that a parent makes that your child is kind of involved in. But the aspect that would bother me, I think, is that you can't control whether they tell the child that they are donor conceived. And mm-hmm. that might bother people. Like,
right.
Because a lot of people, it's happening less and less, I believe, and I think that's a really good thing, where people are lied to mm-hmm. growing up. Like, and they find out, you know, when they're an adult, because their parents slip up and tell them or decide to tell them, or they take a 23andMe and it comes back and you're like, what the fuck? You know, that's what happens to a lot of people. And that seems like a really not great place to be in. But there's no way to guarantee that the parents of your child would inform them. Mm-hmm. And then also in a general sense would be good parents, like what you were saying. So, I do not know.
Yeah. I mean, that's just kind of, I think it's just something that like, if that is a concern to somebody who's dating, it's just something you have to come to terms with. It's outside of your control. Like,
yeah.
There's really nothing you can do about that.
I think the open ID or open ID at 18 thing is good, because then you know that the parents are also looking for that. Mm-hmm. So they're probably going to be explaining it to the child at some point, if they are looking for at some point being open to contact. So that makes sense.
Can I tell you what I found when I went looking for a bank around here, is to see how the logistics of that work?
Yeah.
I live in a like pretty like well-known place. Like it's certainly not like a rural area, but there's only one bank.
Like a local.
Area. Yeah. So there's a lot of places that sell, but there's only one spot that I found that actually takes donations.
Okay. So it's not one of these national, like it's not California Cryobank or Fairfax or one of these big like chain sperm banks.
Well, I think like it's, I could learn more about it, but my impression is that like, you know, when I was looking things up, most of what I found were places that were selling it, and they were buying from places like California, Seattle, et cetera, et cetera. And then like selling here. So I think like the bank here probably ships out to different places too.
Uh-huh.
I would assume. So there's only one of them, and mm-hmm. they had like a questionnaire and I'm going through it. And I think they accept like a pretty low percent of applicants. So like they're going to genetically test everything, right? They're going to, and as they, you know, I know that the whole thing can like feel a little eugenics-y with like, you have to have like a college degree and you have to like, you know, these other things. Mm-hmm. The fact that you can't be underneath a certain height, I just thought was hilarious. but the...
Thank God, you know, no, the, I'm kidding. No one yelled.
No, I forget what the cutoff was. It was like 5'4" or 5'6" or something.
I don't even know if that's really
and it was,
true.
No, it was different. It Here's the thing. I think it was like, I'm getting the numbers wrong, but it was like 5 something for like most people. And then if you were Latino, then it was lower.
Oh, that's interesting. And like, which really weird. It's
just like, you know, I don't know. Like, you know, it's just, they're choosing interesting places to draw lines.
Mm-hmm.
They probably
have to have a college degree. I don't think I knew that.
for this, I don't know how it is in anywhere else.
Just because I feel like I think of this as a thing that college students do, or a lot of people think of it like that, like broke college kid does this, has no foresight, and then suddenly they're like 38 and an 18-year-old is like, hello. Hi. Yeah.
No, like you have to have a degree in order to, in order for this one. And it was interesting, like reading about like all things that tests were, like the test to make sure that like there's no Zika in it and like all this kind of stuff. And the spot that I paused and actually started to look up other things are if you've had sexual contact with a guy in the past 5 years, you can't donate.
If you, the sperm donor, have had contact with a guy, like sexual contact.
Exactly. So they follow FDA guidelines, and the FDA guidelines are you can't donate blood.
Blood, if you're,
You can't donate tissue of any kind, and that includes sperm. And here's the thing, like, I'm not very bi, but it's just enough to make my Catholic school teachers, they'd pray an awful lot if they learned.
Oh my God.
Right? So just
four
just
and a
enough.
Half years ago.
More recent than that. But the site was very clear. Like, we follow FDA guidelines, and FDA guidelines are very clear. And then I started looking up all this up. Like, if you're in the UK, this is not an issue. If you were in Australia, this is not an issue. You can donate blood, semen, whatever.
Yeah, I don't really understand the
It's an AIDS scare thing.
Yeah, that's exactly
what it is.
But you can just test
they're testing it for Zika.
They test it for HIV. They do. That's why frozen sperm became a thing, because they weren't testing the fresh sperm, and that's became a problem in the 80s. So they can test it. That's so like.
There was, reading articles about it, it was really clear. Like, obviously, I'm a guy looking up, you know, just Googling this and looking up news articles and looking at, you know, as reputable sources I can find. But the people who were protesting this, because obviously there were like, you know, LGBTQ, everything, like advocacy groups, like sharply opposing this. And reps from those organizations were citing a distressing lack of scientific evidence to back it. And like they were proposing, you know, testing, thorough testing. But the FDA guidelines are what they are. And the last they were reviewed was 2014, was when this came into play. So could I donate in Australia, UK, or any number of other places? Absolutely. I could, you know, from some kind of like moralistic perspective, like lie in an application, but I'm not very comfortable with that.
That's good. You're one of the only That's a huge the problem is that
people, they'll be like, I'm 6'6" and, you know, speak seven languages and all that.
Right. The height thing, I feel like you can't lie too much about that, but the lying on the applications causes a serious problem with certain questions, like, have you ever donated sperm to anywhere else? No, that's an issue. Or do you have any family genetic history of XYZ? No. And then it's self-reported. So that's problematic, obviously. But so I think you definitely have to be honest when you fill out these forms. But on that part of it, I'm almost like, screw that. Like, I don't think that
it's offensive.
Yeah. Like that's like weirdly discriminatory. I don't like that. So I feel like if you don't have HIV, then it's sort of like null and void. Like, but then, I kind of get what you're saying, where you don't want to like lie on the form. They ask you that? Like, so like just.
Well, they ask you, like, they like give you like a, you know, like a multiple choice, like multiple choice options for, like, you know, like your sexual partners and like sexual history. And that's when I started Googling about this to see like why that question was relevant.
Right. That's wild.
Isn't it? So is that an archaic rule that's probably going to be struck down at some point? Yeah, probably. But there's also, you know, will I have aged out of this by the time that happens? And like, this seems like a cool thing to do, but like, I ain't flying to like Madrid
Right.
just to see who wants my product. Like,
Yeah. Well, they take such a low number of, well, I guess it depends on where you go, like which bank, like the number, it's like different colleges, like the acceptance rate of
I'm sure it's low. I might not even get through just from like whatever genetic testing they do. Like it,
right.
this all could like everything that I mentioned today could be
Could like
a
not matter at
total,
all. Yeah.
could not matter at all, be a total moot point.
Yeah. So you could just like,
Phone was ringing.
okay. You could just, I don't know. If you, I don't know.
Just have this extended Scottish biological family. Just go take a
Oh yeah.
vacation.
Yeah. Go do it somewhere else. I
That
mean,
sounds. I bet they also require you to be, donating for a week for 6 months, like this place does.
oh, I see. And then
Right.
after
So,
that, can you stop?
yeah, they want you to be donating for like 6 months to a year and be
Yeah.
there like once a week, like the entire time.
That's wild. Huh. Yeah, I don't know. I'm fuzzy. I think you, I don't know. I feel it kind of wrong being like, lie on the form,
Sure. And
but lie on
like,
the form.
like this is being recorded. Like, obviously, I'm not gonna be on here being like, well, I'm gonna go down and do the
They're
whatever.
not gonna know. Like, these people
But
don't care. I'm telling you, like, this seems so
yeah,
official. This is literally a shit show. Like, these people, this is not like you have put more thought into this than the CEO of California. Like, they do not care about the welfare of the people that the, it's, yeah, it's a problem. But like, I don't think that's a huge deal. I don't know.
I
And
don't think
there's
so
not,
either.
I don't
Like,
know. And you could just lie and then not lie, omit that and then get tested. And then if it actually all works out, you can like reconsider if you really want to do it. I don't know.
yeah, like just like see if like genetically it would like work out.
Because they also have to test for like the motility of the, like if you have a high enough sperm count, it's like this whole.
It's no, I know there's a lot of things I have to test for. I mean, I might be a little overconfident given my history.
Right. Yeah. Fair. Fair.
But yeah, like I don't know what kind of testing they do for like genetics or like whatever else. So yeah, no, it's a very good point. I could just
Yeah,
ba I
you
could
get a free
basically
checkup.
I could get a free checkup and then, do some thinking on it. And if I want it like that bad, I could like go somewhere else.
Right. Yeah.
Right. I also like depending on like I could imagine that depending on the state that you're in, people care more or less about that particular question. Like they need to follow FDA guidelines, their national rules. But
That's the only FDA guidelines that exist about all of this. Just
isn't that
because
wild?
it's so crazy that it's 25 family units per 800,000 people. Meaning, like, the limit of a donor in
Is
some
25.
banks, not all, there's no national rule. It's up to the discretion of each bank, which is insane, that 25 family units. But each of those family units could have two or three kids. And that's per
Oh,
800,000
wow.
people. So like
Oh,
that's,
geez. Yeah.
in New York City, that's like a lot of people.
That is a lot of people. I was thinking, yeah, I was thinking like limit of 25, really high, but now that's like ex potentially exponential. I would not like to wake up one morning and learn that I have 35 more individuals that I now should at least keep a spreadsheet of.
Yeah, it's a, yeah. And I think that that happens to a lot of people that did this like sort of a long time ago before the internet without the foresight of, and then that is like a situation that happens. And a lot of the time, I think people probably get really overwhelmed and are like, I want nothing to do with this. Like, I had no idea this was going to happen. And that sucks when you're the kid,
Yeah.
But yeah, it's scary that you can't exactly control. What you can do though is if you were to do all of this, you can put yourself on like the donor the donor sibling registry is a place where people with the same donor number can find each other, but donors can also list themselves. So you could meet these kids, you know, as young as whenever their parents list them on the website or do a DNA test for them. Some people do that on their baby, you know, which I don't know how much but like, so you can, it's not like it's a big mystery for 18 years. Mm-hmm. You could find out sooner about.
I could see the wave cresting.
Yeah.
So to speak. Call up the bank, buy up all of yourself if you wanted to stop.
Oh my God. Yeah. That's, I did not realize to this day, my donor father has, I could purchase them today.
I did hear that part of one of your episodes. That is the reaction of the guy on the phone, by the way, was hilarious. He was like, please don't.
He was so funny. I was like, no, you don't understand what I'm saying. I'm not going to get pregnant with the sperm.
That was a really great, genuine interaction to catch really on recording.
Like prevent other people from like having a kid, but I'm not going to because I don't have $6,000 to spend on, you know.
Right.
It's crazy. It is expensive to buy.
I think they give like in terms of what they pay the person donating. I also asked them that, and they're like, they pay you like 60, 70 bucks per like viable like sample, essentially. Mm-hmm. And so the most that you get by the end of it, at least with this particular place, is like, it's like $1,000. Like, it's not much.
At the whole end of the 6 months or whatever?
6 months of work, $1,000.
That's not really that much because one vial is $1,000, essentially.
Their margins must be absolutely.
Yeah, it's like a $4 billion industry or something ridiculous. This was very interesting.
Yeah, no, this was fun.
Yeah. I want to know what happens. Keep me on the saga.
Part two.
In 5 years.
In 5 years. So I know about four so far. No.
It could happen.
Yeah, I don't know. Like it all could be for like, especially given like the barriers in the way, like it could all very easily be for nothing. It's been like, at the very least, it's been like a very interesting thing to dive into, and like this conversation was certainly very fun.
Mm-hmm. It's good to meet you. Yeah, I think I think you're a good candidate.
I didn't call for necessarily the stamp seal approval, but I'll tell you, I really do.
I give it.
I really do. Oh, that's funny. Donor kit approved. where's that label on the package?
Yeah, my God.
It's a good time, and I appreciate you being open to me, you know, like reaching out, answering my questions, you know, all these things, because you never know what you don't know. And if I were to walk into, you know, this kind of situation, I'd want to know that my bases were covered and there wasn't something that was about to like ruin somebody's life that I just was not thinking of. This has been a really good time.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I hope it all works out. I'll let you know.
All right. And I'll let you know.
Cool.
Good. Yeah.
Okay. Bye.
It's a boy. It's a girl. It's a.
It's many of it. It's a dozen. Triplets. Yeah.
It's a baker's dozen. All right. Well, thanks a bunch, and have a great rest of your week.
You too.
Bye. Okay.
Bye.
Alrighty, I hope you enjoyed our conversation and found it as interesting as I did. So, what do you guys think? Should he become a sperm donor? I'm curious to hear your thoughts on all of this. Well, Thank you to my new friend for coming on here, and thank you all for listening. I'll see you next Thursday. Bye.